Howdy, and happy Thanksgiving. If you will, this morning I'd love for you to turn with me to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Thankfulness is to be the heart of everyone who follows God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're in the Pew Bible, it's page 505. 505, Psalm 106. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful not everybody went out of town and that some of you brought your family here, because there are several that I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see you. Glad that you're with us this morning. There are a few of you that I haven't met. I'd love to meet you after the service. It'd be a privilege to be introduced to you. Let's consider God's Word this morning. Thanksgiving for failures. Now, I know after last night, not many of you feel like failures. Because we tend to live vicariously, don't we? When we're up, we're up. And when we're down, we're down. And when you score on every drive in the first half, you feel up. But we're not all Johnny Football, are we? It doesn't always go right in life, and there are times that we blow it big time. And when we blow it, what do? I mean, in those moments when you go, why did I do what I did? Or in those moments when you go, why did I say that again? Or when you're down in the dumps and you say, how could I again forget? Anybody ever struggle with forgetting? Anybody ever struggle with failure? Anybody ever feel weighed down under that performance orientation of your own heart? God is faithful, even in our failures, so give Him thanks. That's the story of Psalm 106. God is faithful even in our failures, so give Him thanks. Let's hear at least a few verses from Psalm 106. Pray with me and then we'll consider His Word. Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of sitting under Your Word, sitting under Your mercy and grace, sitting under Your holy law. Teach us now. This Word is our truth. It is constantly true for our lives. It is consistently true to our lives. Help us to receive it, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 106, the first five verses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all His praise? Blessed are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when You show favor to Your people. Help me when You save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of Your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of Your nations, that I may glory with Your inheritance. Flip over to verse 47 and 48. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving for failures. Now, I gave you the bookends there of the praise of God, which elicits our heart to turn towards God humbly, that we can give thanks. Out of unbelief, into thanksgiving. Out of discontent, into thanksgiving. Out of the struggle and waywardness of the heart, into thanksgiving. God turns our hearts to give thanks that He may fuel our memory of His goodness. Our God is good, and His steadfast love stands forever. You see, thanksgiving is good medicine for the ups and downs of life. And the psalmist knows that. In Psalm 105, it's a parallel psalm. It would be good this afternoon if you went home and read the full of Psalm 105 and 106 together. Psalm 105 is about the faithfulness of God and how He is true to His people, how God is good to His covenant people. And Psalm 106 is about a people who have received that goodness but have a hard time. They're dense and dim. They lose sight of God and they have failed Him again and again. But God in His goodness still surrounds them and draws them back. Thanksgiving is good medicine for the ups and downs of life. When you're up, it's good to remember God and to give thanks. And when you're down, it's hard to turn, but it's good to thank God and remember Him at all times. When you've blown it, when others around you have blown it, we need to turn to the Lord with thankful hearts that He hasn't blown it. As a matter of fact, life necessitates gratitude at all times. I mean, Paul would say it this: in all things give thanks. This is God's will for you. And so, thanksgiving is for failures too. Now, some of you hear that in the shame motif, right? Because there are moments in your life when you just feel like a failure. Failure is not something you did. Failure is something you are. Thanksgiving is for failures, even when you feel like you've blown it and there's no hope. But thanksgiving is for those of you who are guilt-ridden. For those of you who despise the low acts of your life and the hardships and the moments, God says, come. And the psalmist gives thanks to the faithfulness of God. I want you to see that humbly we are to turn with God in thanksgiving. And I want you to see the reason, the refusal, and then a revival of thanksgiving in our own hearts. First this morning, I want you to see the reason for thanksgiving. Notice there, the reason for our thanksgiving is not based in us. It's based in God. It's based in the very character of God. God is good. And His steadfast love endures forever. Newsflash. God's good. You're not. You blow it. But God's goodness comes to us again and again. His faithfulness, in His faithfulness, He redeems us. And to live a life without thanksgiving is to live empty. Last Sunday morning, I think Dad's going to win. But she was trying to make it hard for him for a moment. But God is good. He disciplines when we need it to bring about the priestful fruit of righteousness. Last Sunday, I was sitting up here and someone had asked me a question. And so when you ask me things on Sunday, I have a hard time remembering because I'm all consumed with this, preaching. And so I had pulled out my pen to write something with it. And I've been carrying this pen around with me all week. And when I started to write, I realized it didn't have any guts in it. Here's a penless pen. My kids like to get in my bag and they like to take things apart. And I guess one of them decided to take it apart and put it back together. And so I have a pen here that has all the shaft of the pen and the cap of the pen, but no pen. You know, a thankless Christian is like a penless pen. It doesn't have any guts in it, so to speak. In one sense, we are to be reminded to give thanks to God because it is to well up in our being. The very character of God is to well up in our being. We need what God gives, goodness and steadfast love that endures forever. You need a reason to thank God? I mean, I know you're prone to look at the circumstances of life and say, you know, if God gives this, then I'll be thankful. If God does this, then I'll be thankful. If I can just cross this hill, if I can just get around this corner, if I can just move in this direction, then I'll be thankful. But that's not your reason for thanksgiving. Not for the future generosity of God, But for the present generosity of God, that's your reason for thanksgiving. Notice, it's emphatic in the psalmist's mind. Our God is good, and His steadfast love presently endures forever. Why be thankful, people? Because we have a present, gracious, generous, good, and loving Father who looks out for us. His character, front-loaded in our lives, is our reason for thanksgiving. And that goodness is never exhausted. You know, I take my kids to a game, or I take my kids to the movie, or I take my kids to the mall. I quickly realize that my pockets run out fast. There's always more want than there is resources with Dad. I can't buy him enough pop. I can't buy him enough cotton candy. I can't buy him enough popcorn. There's always more want than there is resource. But our God is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. And you can't exhaust the resources of God. You know, over in Isaiah 40, near the end of the chapter, Isaiah is concerned that the people of God won't fear, but they'll rest in God. And one of his arguments is to see God as He is, to understand the goodness, the power, the immensity of God. In verse 28, he says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." The context of that for us, this inexhaustible resource, comes to us in the goodness and loving kindness of God. And the psalmist, before he recounts his and his nation's failures, he runs to see who God is. You want to be thankful? Run to see who God is. Our God is good. And His steadfast love endures forever. Well, wait, how? How is He good? How is His steadfast love endure forever? Well, the fact that you're here this morning, sitting in a climate-controlled environment, listening to the Word of God preached, is the gift of God. The fact that you have feasted on the fat of the land with family and friends this week, that's the gift of the goodness of God. The fact that though your heart struggles, you live at relative peace with neighbors and in your community, that is a gift of God. But how is God good? How does His love endure forever? He overcomes our enmity with Him by His Son at the cross. Jesus doesn't just give a little. Jesus gives it all so that we can see the goodness of our Heavenly Father and that His love endures forever. God has no halfway commitments with His children. God has gone all the way in the Son, and that's our reason for thanksgiving. God didn't meet us partway and wait for a handshake as we came to join Him. God went all the way. God is all in. God's goodness and love are for us. In His providences, in His provision, in His Son, our God is good. And His redeeming love stands forever. But we're forgetful people. We all have reason, even in the hardship, even in the highs and the lows of our life, we have reason to receive and reason to respond with thanksgiving. But there are times that we refuse. Notice the refusal of thanksgiving. Have you ever refused a gift? Have you ever taken one for granted? You know, I know that you have. You may not know that you have, but I know that you have. Every time we turn from God and turn to sin, we have taken a gift for granted. There's an old Rabbi Wise tale of a man who was despondent and came to the rabbi for some advice. He was upset because of the crowded conditions in which he lived. He had a family, and all nine of them lived in one room in a little shack, and he was despondent before God that he didn't have more. As he accounted his circumstances of crowding and dealing with family and their personalities and the struggles of life, the rabbi said, "Do you have a goat?" The man looked at the rabbi and said, "Do I have a goat?" He said, "Yes, do you have a goat?" The man thought for a moment and said, "Well, yes, I do have a goat." He said, "Well, I have an assignment for you. For 1 week, I want you to move the goat indoors, and I want the goat to live with you in the house." The man wondered how that was going to work, but the rabbi had said it. He had assigned it, and so he went home and he brought the goat into the house. And 1 week later, he returned to see the rabbi. And the rabbi said, "Well, how is it?" And the man said, "It's terrible. It's horrible. That goat neighs all night long. I can't sleep. It stinks. Our house reeks. It's nasty and dirty." And the rabbi said to the man, "Well, turn the goat out and clean up the place and come back and see me in a week." And the man returned in 1 week, and the rabbi said, "Now, how is it?" And the man said, "It's wonderful. Everything is just right. It is the way that it should be." You know, it's amazing what a little perspective will do. When we get our lives centered on us and ours, we begin to lose perspective on what could happen, what challenges are often evaded by the pure mercies of God. There are times that we harden our hearts. And when we harden, we lose the gift of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, the people of Israel, they were world-class at one thing. They were world-class at grumbling against the very hand that gave them everything that they had. They were world-class at taking God for granted. And they refused to give thanksgiving. I mean, you realize 40 years in the desert basically came because every time God came down to check on Israel, they were grumbling in the wilderness. And He said to Moses, "Hey, Mo, give them another lap around the deserts." And this psalm is largely about that. It's about the litany of sins, the grumbling heart of the Israelites, where they missed the very good and gracious gifts of God, where they had taken their eyes off of the steadfast love and goodness of God and put it on their own desires. And we're told here that they needed a Grumblers Anonymous group. In their litany of sin, they forgot God and they turned away. We're told in verse 7 that they complained. I'm going to let you go back and look at the context for all this. In verse 13, they were discontent. In verse 16, they envied. In verse 19, they turned to idolatry. In verse 24, there was unbelief in their midst. And then in 28, apostasy. And finally, outright rebellion in verse 32. And the psalmist recounts the story, the struggle of a forgetful people because they pursued grumbling rather than goodness. You ever pursued grumbling rather than goodness? You ever grumble out loud or under your voice at the very things that God is doing in your life? You ever grumble? "Oh, yeah, we got a lot of people who need to meet me at the back after the service. I think I may just need to start a Grumblers Anonymous group here." You ever criticize God in your own heart? You ever struggle with God's faithfulness day in, day out? You know, thanksgiving is good because it calls us to get outside the immediate moment of struggle and to look for bigger things that God is doing in our lives. Thanksgiving is good. It's not an end in itself. It's not just that we could be thankful. I don't want you to have an empty thankfulness in your heart. I want you to have a thankfulness that's rooted in the character of God and flowers in His providence, because God is at work in your life. And sometimes it's hard to see, or sometimes you've forgotten the good things that He's done. But if you don't give Him thanks, your heart will turn towards complaining and grumbling and discontent. You'll find yourself never happy with the ways of the Lord. And that's the only true failure. God knows your heart, and He knows you blow it. And yet we are to rest by faith in the faithfulness of God's goodness. Our God is good, and His loving kindness lasts forever. And we're to hunger after that righteousness. According to verse 3, which really is the verse, I think, that is meant to expound for us the opposition of the rest of the psalm, the failure. We are to pursue justice and righteousness, because Jesus is our justice and righteousness. Blessed, Jesus said, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5:6. We would find our hope in the righteous goodness of God. But some of us are dill pickle Christians. Now, I'll be honest with you, I like bread and butter pickles. If you want to buy the pastor pickles, buy me bread and butter pickles, okay? I like the sweet ones. But I know some of y'all like dill pickle Christians, but some of us live like dill pickle Christians. Well, what do you mean by that? We're just a little sour. We're just struggling. We're struggling with contentment of heart. Why? Because we can't find anything to be thankful for. Because we've taken our eyes off of the goodness, mercy, and enduring love of God. I know some of you feel beat up right now, but here is the good news. The good news is the revival of Thanksgiving. Whenever we have failed there, the place to run is back to God and to turn to God. And notice that's what the psalmist does here in verse 4 and 5. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them. There is this remembrance of the goodness of God. There is this plea in humility for help to have a thankful heart. And that's why Thanksgiving is for failures, for those who can remember the very goodness of God. Irma Bombeck one time, some years ago when she was writing an article, wrote about the fact that she was a recoverer of breast cancer. She had breast cancer. She was one of 1.5 million women in the U.S. who were alive after battling breast cancer. And the season was Thanksgiving, and she was remembering that she needed to give thanks because of a little girl she had met, a little 8-year-old girl named Christina. And it was near her birthday, and someone asked Christina, "What do you want for your birthday?" And this little girl had struggled with cancer. She was surviving cancer of the nervous system. And the little girl Christina looked up and she said, "Well, I've got 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I reckon I've got everything." You know, the perspective there is one of gratitude, one of thanksgiving. God has given good things. How do we rekindle the practice of thanksgiving? We turn to the God who initiates our relationship. Remember and help. Notice there in verses 4 and 5, "Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon your prosperity, on the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance." Here's a psalmist who is going to find his happiness in belonging to God's people. And notice it's God who initiates the relationship and sustains the relationship. It's God's faithfulness that overcomes the ingratitude of our heart. It's a childlike faith that with humility claims the promises of God. You want to be thankful? Come like an 8-year-old who's seen the work of God and embraces it with gratitude. A number of years ago, there was a missionary named Fulton, and Fulton grew up in Africa. He was a mission kid and then a missionary to Africa. And while he was in Africa, Fulton was basically raised by an African woman who loved him dearly. And he realized as she raised him up, she prayed for him, she helped the family, she assisted the family. And one morning he realized that as she came in, as she did every morning, when she would sit down for breakfast, she would say, "Much obliged, Lord. Much obliged." And so he asked her one day when he was still young, he said, Why do you say that when we sit down? Why do you say much obliged? I mean, we've already got the meal. It's here whether you say much obliged or not." She said, "Oh yes, the victuals are provided. But an old preacher challenged me one time to always be thankful. And so whenever I sit down or whenever I rise in the morning, I give thanks to God. Like this morning, I rose and I said, 'What is there this day to praise God for?' And nothing came to mind. And then I walked into the kitchen and there was the coffee. And I said, 'Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee. And much obliged for the smell of the coffee.'" Fulton recounts that he followed this woman all the days of her life, and she came to her deathbed, and she was in great misery and pain as she prepared to go meet her Maker. And they were near the end, in the last moments of her life. There were several friends and family gathered around her bed, and when she finally opened up her eyes, near the end, she opened up her eyes and she looked up into the eyes of all the friends and she said, "Much obliged, Lord, for friends and family." There was one who knew how to be thankful. You know, the gifts of life call us to oblige ourselves to God with thanksgiving. "Much obliged, Lord." The heart and spirit of God's work in us flowers forth in our life. The grace of gratitude flowers forth in our life with thanksgiving. Now, we celebrate nationally Thanksgiving once a year. But my charge to you is to celebrate it just like that thankful lady, day by day. When you rise in the morning, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you open your eyes on your deathbed, you should find your reason for living before God. "Much obliged, Lord." You know, thank God for the best things. Constantly thank Him for redemption. The big problem for Israel again and again in their wanderings was this. They failed to be thankful for God's redeeming love. Thank God for the best things. Daily, again and again, thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him for forgiveness. Thank Him for eternal life. Thank God daily for the good things. Thank Him for family and friends that you can celebrate feast days with. Thank Him for a paycheck. You ever take that paycheck for granted? Lose your job for 6 months and see if you don't have a different perspective on the mercies of God. Thank God for the good things, for the paychecks and for relationships. Thank God for the good conversations you can have in relative peace. Thank God for the regular things. That the sun rises every morning and the stars dot the sky every night. Thank Him that you can have 3 square meals every day of your life. But also thank God for the hard times. Thank God that He's present and not absent in your sickness. Thank God that He's near and not a far away in broken relationships. Thank God that He is strong, that He is able, and that He cares when life is falling apart. You want to be a better thinker? You have to rest in the mercies of God. You see, God's faithfulness is the source, the true source of all good thanksgiving. God is good, and His love endures forever. And that's why Paul can come to us. That's why he can say to us in 1 Thessalonians, he can respond this way: "See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Do not quench the Spirit." See, the heart of thanksgiving, it is, in one respect, the guts of our Christianity. If the cross is the heart of our Christianity, thanksgiving is the guts of our thanksgiving, that we remember the faithfulness of God. By faith, we trust Him. Give Him thanks. Rejoice that we have a God who is good and whose love endures forever. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we are much obliged, Lord. Much obliged for your goodness and grace. Would you turn our hearts away from the circumstances that bring grumbling, and turn our hearts to the vision of your goodness and grace, that we might again and again celebrate your redeeming love with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.